Thank you for visiting the Vine Street Baptist Church podcast. Vine Street Baptist Church seeks to love God, serve people, and make disciples. You're invited to join our Sunday morning worship service each week, which starts at 10:45 a.m. We sing, fellowship, and sit under God's preached word. If you need to speak to one of the church pastors or leadership, please email info@vinestreetbaptist.org or call 502-585-3027. For directions to the church or for more information, visit our website, vinestreetbaptist.org.
Let's pray. Father, we come to hear from you, the living God, who spoke once and continues to speak. And I ask one thing this morning, that you will speak through the words I have. May my words be your words. May our hearts yearn for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. On Friday this week, I was sitting right where Joe is, actually, and I was praying through our directory. I try to pray for everyone in this church once a week, and more if I can. And I'm praying through the directory, and I get about halfway through, and I'm gaining a sense of the magnitude of our people, and the sense of being in this neighborhood. And that there is no other gospel witness in Germantown that I know of. There aren't even other churches in this neighborhood. And I'm praying for our church, and I'm praying that Christ is precious to us, that we love him with everything we have. And I had this sense that, Lord, what Vine Street needs more than anything else is we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. A genuine revival, not emotionalism, not a mood that will change for a week, but we need your Spirit to bring a mighty work. And I've been reading through the history of this church, and if you're not familiar with it, it's fascinating and it's deeply encouraging, because in 1947, Vine Street almost ceased to exist. There was about 40 individuals, about the size of our church now. This building was not built. They laid a foundation. They didn't have money to build the rest. And they were close to calling it quits. They'd been trying for 6 years to start a church in this neighborhood. And within 8 years after that, God had brought a mighty work, and Vine Street was about 150, and many of those people were people who had come to faith in Jesus. What brings that kind of change around is only a work of the Spirit of God working within his people. And the force of what Paul is speaking through this text in Galatians, he's saying, you started by hearing with faith and receiving the Spirit. You must finish as you began by continuing to hear with faith and by continuing to receive the Spirit. And that is our cry as a church, is that the Spirit descends and we begin to see an impact in this neighborhood, in our hearts, in a way that brings God an incredible amount of glory. Paul is calling the church in this text to finish as they began by hearing with faith the good news of Jesus Christ and responding. Before we jump in, I want to give a quick recap of where we've been so far in Galatians. So Galatians is a church that's written to a group of churches that were located in what's now southern Turkey. And Paul had planted these churches on his first missionary journey. And shortly after leaving these churches, going back to the city of Antioch, which was a sending church, some Jewish Christian missionaries came into those cities. And they began to infiltrate the church. And they were telling these new baby Christians who were still learning what it means to follow Jesus that, yes, Jesus Christ had to die for our sins, but it wasn't enough. You also have to be doing all these other things, obeying these Old Testament commandments, such as certain food restrictions, such as being circumcised if you were a male, that was a sign of belonging to God in the Old Testament. And they're saying you have to do these things as well if you really want to be part of the people of God. And part of what they were doing is they were calling into question Paul's apostleship, Because if they can question his apostleship, then they can also question the Jesus and the gospel that he preached. And so Paul takes two chapters and he gives his spiritual autobiography to show the Galatians that his apostleship was Jesus calling him directly. It was not anything he'd received from a person. He had received his commissioning as an apostle, his gospel from Jesus Christ himself. And so to question his gospel that he preached wasn't just questioning an interpretation, it was questioning Jesus himself. And here we move into the next part of the book after he's given his spiritual autobiography, and from chapter 3 through halfway chapter 5, he gives a series of arguments trying to persuade the Galatians to come back to the true faith in Jesus alone by hearing with faith alone. And so that's where we pick up. Go ahead, and if you have a Bible, open it to Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, page 973 in your pew Bible. Paul begins like this. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law, or by hearing with faith? You know, sometimes it's the simplest arguments that are the strongest. The most concise arguments that can deliver that knockout blow. And this argument that Paul's giving is incredibly similar. It's incredibly simple. He's saying, when you became a Christian, what was the prerequisite for receiving the Spirit of God? Was it all the good things you had done? Was it your church attendance record? Was it your Bible reading plan? Was it anything you could have done or not done? Or was it hearing with faith and believing with all your heart that Jesus' death was enough for you? To paraphrase this, I mean, he comes out with pretty strong words. To paraphrase it in modern colloquialism, are you on stupid pills? If you began on the strength outside of yourself, the strength that God brought by his salvation or redemption in Jesus, because your strength was completely inadequate, you really think you're not going to finish it on your own strength? Come on, guys. Now, here's the thing. The simplicity and the strength of this argument is based on an understanding of what the Holy Spirit does. And there's an old Baptist joke that as Baptists, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scriptures. Think about that for a second. And so I think for us to understand the simplicity and strength of his argument, it's helpful just to take a quick dive into who is the Holy Spirit, why does the Holy Spirit matter, and specifically, what does the Holy Spirit do? And then we'll be able to understand why Paul considers this his slam dunk argument in Galatians. So first, what does the Holy Spirit do in the life of a believer? What does the Holy Spirit do? I'm going to mention three specific things. The Holy Spirit does a lot, but here's our three main ones that are important for us to grasp. First, that the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and produces faith in a person. Look at Galatians 3:1 again. It says, it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. It was before your eyes. How is that possible? Paul was preaching and sharing the gospel to the Galatians 20 years after Jesus had been crucified. How is it that the Galatians saw Jesus publicly crucified before them? What is going on here? The sharing of the gospel and the preaching that Paul brought when he first visited the Galatian churches was so powerful, so evocative, so convicting that it was as if the Galatians were seeing Jesus Christ crucified before them. That was the force and the weight that the gospel brought as Paul shared it and preached it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit that can do that kind of a work. A really important Old Testament verse for understanding the sending of the Spirit is Joel 2:28, and it says this, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." People will see things and experience things and know things that they never knew or experienced before. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so that the same gospel message that you share with one person are the words of life that bring change and radical reformation. That same message, when shared with another person, brings death and offense and ridicule. So 2 Corinthians 2 says, one, the message of the cross brings life to some and death to others. And so Galatians 3:1, it's not referencing Paul's eloquence. There's actually some good evidence to think Paul was probably kind of a boring speaker in person. But what we see rather is the Holy Spirit applying the truth of the gospel, bringing deep conviction of sin and grace. You know, knowing that Jesus died on a cross doesn't save us. Demons know that. It's when that truth begins to capture our heart so that we respond in faith and love for the God who made us. That's when it's a saving faith, not just a knowledge. And that only the Holy Spirit can bring about that kind of conviction. Now, here's the encouragement for us. Here's the courage we have to step out and talk to our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends. Because the fruit of our labor is not based on how well I share the gospel. But the fact is that even our stumbling and sometimes awkward attempts to be faithful to share Jesus with those in our lives, when the Spirit is at work, it can make that as if Jesus Christ is publicly crucified in front of them. It can bring spiritual resurrection. That's the work of the Spirit. The first role of the Spirit is to convict of sin and to bring faith. And the Spirit does that if we are faithful to step into those opportunities. The second major role of the Holy Spirit is that the Spirit empowers us for holy living. Another really important text, Ezekiel 36:27, says this, "And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and to be careful to obey my rules." The story of Israel details how even when God saves us, rescues us, reveals himself to us, we can't obey his law. Israel disobeyed again and again and again because we are weak and sin is enticing and Satan is very real. And apart from the Spirit's work, our hearts are hard as stone. And so it is the Spirit who is the one who actually empowers us to put to death selfish desires and anger and lust and bitterness and doubt, and instead to love Jesus and his commandments with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So here's encouragement from that, is that as Christians, we will struggle with sin because we live in a fallen world. Yes, but it's never a hopeless struggle. And it doesn't matter where what we walk through and what happens, if we are genuine believers in Jesus, I know that at a fundamental level, you want to please Jesus because the Spirit of God dwells in you. So the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, brings faith. The Holy Spirit empowers us for holy living. And the last one is that the Holy Spirit empowers us for gospel witness. In Acts 1:8, which gives the theme verse of the entire book of Acts, the theme verse of the birth of the church of Jesus Christ, says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And the book of Acts describes how a couple of uneducated, unimpressive fishermen and other non-entities, how through them a fire was sparked that within 200 years the entire Roman Empire would have been consumed. And the gospel of Jesus Christ would have been proclaimed. It's the Spirit of God dwelling within us that prods us to step out in faith and courage and to share the gospel with our coworkers and our neighbors and our family members. And as we step out in faith and we actually do that, we begin to experience life in the Spirit. Conversely, if we don't step out, we grow spiritually stagnant. The Spirit convicts of sin and brings faith. The Spirit empowers us for holy living. The Spirit empowers us for a powerful gospel witness. If these are three ministries of the Spirit, this leads to an amazingly important question, which is, how do we receive the Spirit? How do we keep walking in the Holy Spirit? And that's Paul's argument he's bringing out in this text. Galatians 3:2, did you receive the Spirit by working or by hearing with faith? Receive it by your faithfulness and devotion, or by taking God at his word and putting our trust in him and the work that he can do and the power that he has. And you probably know the answer if you've been coming to church for any kind of time. It's, of course, hearing with faith. I know that, Mike. Can we move on? But I want to pause for a second because that is absurd, okay? According to common sense, that makes no sense. Nothing in life works that way. Let's think about it. And this helps us explain that there's a reason why the Galatians were being tempted towards a works reward way of relating to God, and why we too are often tempted towards that. Because that's how life works. You work, there's a reward. You don't work, there's probably a consequence. You'll reap what you sow. That's how life works. But how I receive the Spirit is by hearing with faith, by believing Jesus when he looks at me and says, Mike, you're a far worse person than you think, but I died for you anyways, not because I deserve forgiveness, but simply because God loves me unconditionally and chose to give me grace. And this is why it's so easy for the Galatians and so easy for us to subtly shift into a works reward way of relating to God. It's how all of life functions. And this is why, at the end of the day, grace is really offensive. We forget this. It's actually pretty offensive. Because when I work hard and I get a reward, I deserve that. But when I need grace, what is grace other than a handout for the needy? Seriously, it's a handout for the needy. It offends our dignity. It offends our pride. And here's the thing. It's only beautiful to those of us who realize how desperately needy we really are. That we don't deserve to kiss the dirt that Jesus walked on, but he stooped down and he pulled us out of the dirt and he made us his own. And that's all because we heard with faith. And so we receive the Holy Spirit with all that he does in our life. We receive the very presence of God by hearing with faith. And we continue to receive the Spirit through our life by continuing to hear with faith. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. There's one big contrast in this passage. It's works of the law, the flesh, our strength, versus hearing with faith, receiving the Spirit, and God's strength. And Paul's saying, look, if our strength wasn't sufficient at the beginning to start this Christian journey, why would we think it's sufficient now? Think of it this way. When I lived in Washington, D.C., I had a friend who worked for the CIA. I can't tell you his name. I'd have to kill you. But I literally can't tell you his name. So I had a friend, and he worked at the CIA headquarters. And one time he gave me a tour. So I was able to go to the CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia. The security restrictions at the CIA headquarters, as you'd imagine, are pretty intense. In fact, when you're driving on the highway, they have their own exit ramp. And if you get off on the exit ramp and actually go up to the gate to ask directions, like say you're a confused tourist, they will arrest you on the spot if you don't have a security clearance. It's intense. So for me to actually get into the CIA headquarters, my friend, he had to like get permission from his boss and his boss's boss. I had to do like a very minor criminal background check. He had to get all these permissions. He had to meet me at the front gate, and then he had to stay with me the entire time, obviously. It was a really cool experience. There are some really interesting parts of the CIA headquarters. There's one place that's just stuck with me forever. It's a wall, and it just has stars on it. And there's a star for every U.S. undercover agent who died while undercover. And the U.S. could never recognize them as having died in service to our country, because then it would be blowing the cover of the operation. So these were men and women who had died for their country, and no one would ever know it. And it was many, many stars. Also, the CIA has a phenomenal museum that no one can see unless you work for the CIA. And I'm telling you, there's stuff in there that's like straight up James Bond. Like they used to have pens that shot bullets, okay? It was very cool. Very interesting experience. Imagine my friend, he greets me at the gate, brings me inside security. Imagine that I then said, okay, man, thanks. I can take it from here. I don't need you anymore. I'll see you later. If I had done that, I would have ended up on CNN, okay? An insecure civilian walking around one of the most secure places on the planet, it would not have gone well. The only reason I got into the CIA headquarters was because I was with my friend. The only reason I was staying there was because I was with my friend as well. And if I did anything else, it would not have gone well for me. And this is similarly to our Christian life of how we receive the Spirit by hearing with faith, and we continue to walk in the Spirit, not by our works, but by hearing with faith, by taking God at his word. And this is why Paul asks incredulously, how could you begin the Christian journey one way by hearing with faith and then think that you're going to finish is by the goodness of your conduct and by your own faithfulness? But we all do that. As crazy as that, I mean, we can understand in the CIA analogy why that would be nuts, but in our Christian life, we're oftentimes tempted to do that. When we take solace and refuge in that I don't do this and I do this, and not simply by hearing with faith the words that God has spoken to us through his word. And so if we began by hearing with faith and we receive the Spirit, we continue to walk in the Spirit by hearing with faith. Now, in Galatians 5, that's a major theme of what does it mean to walk in the Spirit. So I'm not going to get into that too much. But I do want to mention one thing, which is that walking in the Spirit, if nothing else, means that we continue to keep hearing with faith, taking God at his word. And as it says in verse 5, God then supplies the Spirit and works miracles. Again, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? We continue to hear with faith, and in response, God supplies the Spirit and works miracles. Every Christian, the moment that we place our faith in Christ, we are baptized into the Holy Spirit. So every Christian has the presence of God residing in you, doing these works. But as we hear with faith and we act accordingly, we respond accordingly, God increases the influence and the power of the Spirit in our lives to increase conviction of sin, to increase personal holiness, to increase our powerful witness to our neighbors and our friends. But it's as we hear with faith that he does that. Let me give you an example what this could look like in a real-life situation. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God's divine power has granted to us. It's every Christian, we've been given what we need to live a life of godliness, to serve God and be fruitful and productive. No matter the circumstance, no matter where you are in life, if you have a heartbeat and you're a Christian, God's given you everything you need. What does it mean to hear that with faith? Marco's great-grandma, she died at 101. One of the reasons I married her is she has great genes, okay? So she has her great-grandma died at 101, and she was mentally sharp to the end. She was a bright woman. But that last year of her life, her body declined quickly. And she had actually been blind for the last 10 years of her life, but that last year, she really couldn't move very much. She was in a nursing home. She'd been independent until 99, okay? That's an impressive thing. But that last year or two of her life, she was in a nursing home. Again, she couldn't see, she couldn't take care of herself. How is 1 Peter 1:3 true for her? How has God granted to her everything she needs for life and godliness when she can't read the Bible, she can't go to church, she can't serve anyone? Literally, all she can do is sit there. And so what Marco's great-grandma did was she listened to sermons and she prayed nonstop. I'm not kidding, prayed nonstop. About a week before she passed away, they knew she was getting close to the end, and Mark went and visited her, and her great-grandma's laying on the hospital bed, and she's like muttering under her breath, and Marco leans in, and she's saying, I want a new body. And Marco's like, great-grandma, I can't do that for you. And then she said, I'm not talking to you. To the end, she was in prayer. I don't know if 1 Peter 1:3 is what she was trusting in, but she was hearing with faith that God has provided what she needed, and then she was acting out of that, and God sent his Spirit to this woman to preserve her and keep her faithful to the end. And I tell you what, when I stand before Jesus, I can't wait to see the fruit of those solitary prayers for a year and a half. It may be generations of redemption that God brought about because she heard with faith that God, you've given me what I need, and I'm going to respond in the way I can in the context you've placed me in. And God sent his Spirit so that she could do that. Be faithful to the end until her until their dying breath. We continue in the Spirit by hearing with faith and acting as we can. Let me ask you a question. Is there places in your life where you're struggling to take God at His word and to hear with faith? Is it concerning the totality of forgiveness that when Jesus cried out and said, "It is finished," He meant every sin you've ever committed, every shade of sin, every brushstroke on your soul, it has been atoned for. It is done. There is no guilt. There is no condemnation. Is it concerning God's loving providence that He can bring us through dark nights of the soul and He's still loving even when He feels completely absent? Are we struggling to take Him at His word concerning friends or family who don't know Jesus, and we think, they're so far from Christ, how could my words possibly do anything? And sometimes, all we can muster up is the confused conviction of the father in Mark 9 who had a demon-possessed child, and he cries out to Jesus, he says, "I believe, help my unbelief." Sometimes that's the best we can bring. But that's what we bring, and we cry out, and then we act in faith. And the amazing thing is that then God sends His Spirit to work powerfully in our lives, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He honors even those half-confessions of faith, even when all we can cry is, "I believe, help my unbelief." We walk in the Spirit by hearing with faith, not by doing. We hear with faith first, and then God supplies His Spirit, and we act. And as we act more, the Spirit is supplied more. We become Christians when through God's calling of us, our eyes are opened and we believe and we hear and we believe with conviction in our souls that our sin was great enough to create an infinite chasm between us and God. But we also hear with faith that and conviction that God crossed that chasm and came to us as a man, and He took the sin that we have done and He bore it on Himself and took it to a cross. And it is as we hear with faith and we take God at His word that all of that is true for us, that God sends His very Spirit to live within us, so now God is closer to us than our very selves because the Spirit dwells in us. So we don't begin the Christian walk one way and finish another way. What began by hearing with faith continues by hearing with faith. And as we continue to take God at His word, as He's revealed in Scripture, God sends His Spirit into our lives to transform us into the image of Jesus and to empower us for the work that He has for us. Let's pray. God, we long for You. We long to walk in Your Spirit, to step into the opportunities You've given to us. We long for a greater outpouring of Your Spirit on us as a body, that we may see You, Jesus, face to face. That's the cry of our hearts. Help us to hear with faith continually, to take You at Your word and know that You are faithful to perform whatever it is You've promised, and that who You are is true forever. And help us to act in accordance with that faith. I pray all these things in Your holy name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.